This is Jay Sekulow. Revealed Biden team's secret meetings with Iran. The purpose? To sabotage the Trump administration.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The good news is our policy in the Middle East was successful. We built out a strong coalition to crush the regime in Iran. We built out a Gulf state set of coalition partners that signed Abraham Accords, creating peace and stability throughout the Middle East. Our policies work.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
It's sad that Secretary Kerry is unable to get off the stage at any point that he had to go try and undermine what President Trump and our team were trying to do.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
All right, now we've talked about this before, but the interference that has taken place on foreign policy. Do you remember the whole situation when there were the Obama administration raised concerns about the incoming Trump administration with regard to, then it was conversations with Lieutenant General Flynn. Well, how about this? So the Trump administration was looking to open some back channel communications after crippling sanctions had impacted Iran in a significant way. They saw the UN General Assembly, according to the media reports, as the vehicle to do it, which is common. We go to the UN. There are a lot of meetings. There are a lot of get-togethers. There's a lot of what we call side meetings. That's what we were talking about here. 2 months earlier, however, there was already going on in discussions with Iran, discussions in New York, except it wasn't the Trump team. In fact, in this particular case, it was Robert Malley, who was President Obama's Middle East advisor and significantly involved in Iran, and then John Kerry. Now, this is coming to you from the same group, not the same time, but the same group that when the Iran deal was being discussed, you remember all of the, and Secretary Pompeo, our senior counsel for global affairs, said on the broadcast yesterday, the side deals that were going on with these Iranian deals, going back all the way to the hostage release, and then going forward, of what was taking place here. I remember, Logan, we had that whole situation with the clips and the videos, the inexplicable clips.
Yeah, edits that were, you know, mistakes, but were clearly edits done. You know, this is what that past administration did, and the fact that you saw them go in, specifically undermine what was going on. It just shows you when people throw out terms like shadow government and the deep state, what that actually means when there's proof and there's evidence. And that is why, honestly, this time around for the ACLJ, we're getting people like former Ambassador Grinnell, who will be on later on, and Mike Pompeo, because we have to be able to combat these things at the highest level. And that's what we're doing. We're putting together an all-star team.
It is an all-star team. And part of our all-star team is Stan Bennett, who is with us in Washington, D.C. And we've got a draft Freedom of Information Act request already being prepared. I mean, I'm holding the draft of it right now. So I haven't reviewed it yet, but it's been drafted by our team. And this is serious stuff, Dan. This shows an undermining of an administration's foreign policy.
We've said it many times, Jay, but it's critically important that we have one president at a time so that America speaks with one unified voice around the world. It sure looks like that did not happen with the Obama administration after they left office. It looks like John Kerry and others continued to try to undermine the Trump administration, particularly Rich, Jay, given that the accusations to the Trump administration as they were coming into office is that they were violating the Logan Act by engaging in these conversations as they were coming into office. Looks like they never cut those conversations off. But you're right, Jay. We want to know if the conversations in the outgoing administration actually planned to do this before they left office. We can get into some of the details as we go along, but that's the bottom line, what we're looking for in this FOIA that we're about to send.
Yeah, we're going to get into it. This is a serious situation. And Logan, you mentioned we only got 50 seconds here. We are building out our team on foreign policy.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can be a part of that team as well and help us out with the ACLJ. And we want to hear your voice on the air. Give us a call right now, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110 to be on the air today. Get your comments in as well. Share it if you're on Facebook. Share it if you're on Twitter. Retweet it, because we want as many voices to hear this, because this news you're going to hear in some coverage, but you're not going to hear it on all mainstream media. And that's why we're here on Sekulow. That's why we're here at ACLJ, to make sure we are the voice for you during these really different times and really difficult times. Again, we'll be right back with more coming up real soon, but give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
We are back. Phone lines are completely full right now, but you can give us a call, 1-800-684-3110, because you know what? A lot of times, not all the calls make it on the air. Because some people get fired up, and you say words you shouldn't say on talk radio. So, you know what? There will be some open lines, I assure you, 1-800-684-3110.
You're positive.
100%. I did that job for many years.
Yes, you did.
I took the calls because I could get my frustrations out because I got to yell at people. It was fun because people would call you very frustrated and very mad. So it was like my 1 hour a day where I could respond. And then they'd be like, is this Logan? I'd be like, next caller. All right, let's keep going.
All right, so joining us right now is the former ambassador to Germany and former acting director of national intelligence and senior advisor for the American Center for Law and Justice, Rick Grinnell. Rick, Iran... Boy, and I know you were involved in all of these issues, especially with Germany and the German relationship with Iran and as DNI. You got this report coming out now that John Kerry and apparently Robert Malley were in negotiations and discussions, I should say, with the Iranian officials while we were trying to use crippling sanctions, which worked, were uniting the Middle East against this juggernaut of the Iranians. It's just, I mean, the duplicity, number one, of course, is rich to begin with. But the fact that they were doing it harms our national interest.
Yeah, and I really do not understand why John Kerry is allowed to do this, but others are not. Is it because he's a Democrat and there's a Democrat in the White House, his friend Joe Biden? But this is problematic because it's a slippery slope. Let's just say, for the record, that there are a whole bunch of envoys who have worked on issues in the past, and they can't be freelancing. We need to have one policy. For John Kerry to go to his friend, Foreign Minister Zarif, and to have conversations, because the trouble is that the Obama-Biden team had a fundamentally different policy in Iran than the Trump administration. And so having this back channel, unapproved, undermining U.S. policy really creates a problem. Besides the slippery slope, it's illegal.
Well, it's interesting because John Kerry's in it as this climate advisor to the Biden administration, and Robert Malley is back playing a major role in U.S.-Iranian negotiations. They say they're willing to go back to the table. Now, there was interesting yesterday, Rick, that they pulled back a bit. I mean, when I say pulled back a bit, they want to go to the table, but they acknowledge, at least publicly, that the Iranians were nowhere near compliance with the agreement, which should be no shock to us, but also should be no shock to the Europeans who voluntarily went into this agreement and stayed.
Look, here's the dirty, here's the dirty little secret. When the Trump administration approached the Europeans and said, look, this Iran deal is not working, can we come up with some ideas that would improve it? The Germans, the French, the British, everybody agreed the agreement's not great. It's pretty weak. And we don't have any time, anywhere inspections. And we've seen violations. We've seen them lying. I mean, look no further than the Israeli locker full of information showing that the Iranians had been lying. And so the Europeans know this. Here comes the problem. They don't know what to do about it because they still want to engage and have trade. I think that when you make consensus, when you make an agreement the goal, then anything can happen. And it's a weak agreement. It's certainly not beneficial to Americans. Lastly, I'll just say that we need to understand in America that the threat from Iran is more real for us and our allies than it is for the Europeans.
Yeah, let's go ahead and take a call.
Yeah, we got a good comment coming in from Sherry in California. Sherry, you're on the air.
Hey, Sherry.
Hi. Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to know, like you were discussing about the Obama and Kerry, all of these discussions back there. What could be the reason for this? Is there a, what good that's going to come out of it?
I don't think there's any good that comes out of it. My concern, first of all, I want to go to Fan on this for a second in our government affairs office. I mean, my concern is not that the good coming out of it is that the harm that was done. Because this was in 2019, so we weren't, the election was, you know, the stuff was just going on in the election for 2020. So this was during our active policy as we were doing the Abraham Accords with the Gulf state and the other Arab countries that have come alongside and have joined with Israel, a large part because of the Iranian threat.
Jay, it's putting a partisan agenda or the interest of a political party over the interest of the United States. I mean, we talked about this briefly in the first segment of the broadcast, and I know that Rick could speak to it in great depth here, but the importance of the United States speaking with one voice, it just absolutely has to happen. And Jay, when you have Americans speaking against the interest of American policy, which again, can only be set by one president at a time. The American policy is set by the president, it's administered by people like Rick, and then when you have Americans coming in and undermining that policy, Jay, it's got to be so frustrating for those officials on the ground trying to carry out their constitutional oath. But more than that, more than just being frustrated for the people charged with carrying out the oath, Jay, it undermines the United States around the world, because if the other countries in the world cannot look to the United States for a clear voice on where we stand, and there's confusion, there's multiple voices, how in the world do you expect them to ally with us? There's no way that they can.
Yeah. No, and the question she asked, of course, was why is he doing this? Part of this is trying to stay relevant.
Yeah, and part of it is just that it sounds bad. We're not in a political year right now. I guess you say, this is the Democrat playbook. I mean, this is what they do. It undermines whatever is going on for conservatives or for the world, for the country and for the world. It doesn't matter because it doesn't progress their agenda. We're seeing the same thing in all different states. We're seeing, you know, governors being recalled. We're seeing all this stuff happens because specifically the outsiders and regular people can look at the whole spectrum and go, wait a second, this is not for the good of the country. This was just to undermine the Trump administration, which then eventually undermines the entire United States foreign policy.
Well, I want to go to Rick on this, because here's the thing that to me is the frustrating part of this, is that the Iranian policy that you all implemented, and again, I know you were heavily involved in this too, really has changed the shape of the Middle East. I mean, it's brought together we got five Arab countries now, predominantly Muslim Arab countries, in an accord, a historic Abraham Accord with Israel, but Iran was the focus of this.
Yeah, we've been very successful, and we were clearly undermined by John Kerry. But let's just talk about the hypocrisy for a second. Mike Flynn came in as the incoming national security advisor after an election. He was tapped with a transition. He had a phone call with the Russian ambassador. And in that phone call, the Democrats are now saying, through partially leaked documents, that he undermined the current administration of the Obama administration, because he literally said, we've got one administration at a time, let's go slow and let's talk about this UN resolution later. Okay? Fast forward to John Kerry. He's not appointed at all. He did what Mike Flynn did and worse, because he wasn't the incoming. He was just a citizen. And he went and he met with the Iranians. I saw him meet with them at the Munich Security Conference. They met in Munich. They met in other places. So, and the fact is why isn't the system coming in the media and the DOJ coming down on John Kerry like they did to Mike Flynn?
Well, let me tell you what we're doing, Rick, and I know you've been a big advocate of this. We have authored today a draft Freedom of Information Act request to the Department of State. It is filed on behalf of the American Center for Law and Justice. The request seeks records pertaining, that's what we say, pertaining to the U.S. Department of State's knowledge and efforts surrounding the breaking story that current government officials like former Secretary John Kerry, Secretary of State John Kerry, conducted shadow diplomacy with Iran and its surrogates, or even advancing pro-Iran causes, all while these officials are not members or representatives of the United States government. And you've just said that you are at the Munich conference and you saw it with your own eyes.
I saw John Kerry meeting with individuals. There's more information that I could say, but the reality is that John Kerry has been doing this because probably he would say the Iranians reach out to him, but that is absolutely no excuse. The undermining of the policy is unacceptable and it's illegal. And either we enforce it on people like Mike Flynn and John Kerry, or we're just going to abolish it and we're going to let people talk and try to undermine the policy. There's just no two ways about it.
Rick, we appreciate you being with us as always. I'm going to send you a draft of this Freedom of Information Act request. Get your views on it as well. Thanks for being with us today. It's Rick Grinnell, of course, as you know, was former ambassador to Germany, which, boy, they had a lot of relations with Iran, and also acting director of DNI, so Director of National Intelligence. So has tremendous expertise on this. We're thrilled he's a major part of our team, especially as it relates to intelligence and foreign policy. But and now we've got our legal team. So we're not just talking about it, everybody. We've got our legal team preparing documents right now to serve on the Department of State. That's what we do at the ACLJ. We don't just talk about it. We engage it. I think we're bringing the best foreign policy team together of any organization in the country.
Yeah, I think we heard a lot of that yesterday with the announcement of Mike Pompeo joining the ACLJ team. And more of that to come. I'm sure he'll be on again later this week.
I think Friday.
Or next week, yeah, later this week. And we'll have so much more information coming out about that. You'll see works from him, works from Rick. And we are creating, like you said, a great team. We couldn't do without the support of everyone who donates and is a part of the ACLJ.
You know, Logan came up with this idea going to 2021 that we'd be ACLJ more than ever. And you were very generous to us in 2020 and are right now in 2021. And that's why we can retain these experts to advance the ball for freedom.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line: we could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
As we continue the discussions of the work today for the American Center for Law and Justice, of course, we've got a major now abortion case in front of the Supreme Court with a hitch, because my concern here, it's involving Title X. We'll ask Cece Hollow to explain in a moment, but I'm concerned that the defenders of this are the United States Department of Justice under Joe Biden. So I think the court should either appoint an amicus curiae, which is a friend of the court to argue, as a possibility, or I'll tell you this, we will be filing on your behalf. But let me go to Cece. What is at stake at the Supreme Court case?
Well, Title X allows grants to go to voluntary family planning projects, but it specifically excludes any of those funds going to support any programs where abortion is a method of family planning. So you would think that Planned Parenthood would already be off the table of this, but they're not. They typically get funds even under Title X. So President Trump and his administration did regulations that actually mirrored what President Reagan did in his administration, and just clarifying that Planned Parenthood would not be able to get those funds, or any organization, if they do abortions. And that's where we're at. It's going back up to court, even though in 1991, in Rust versus Sullivan, this went before the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court said that absolutely these Reagan regulations were constitutional, and Trump's regulations are exactly the same.
And should be deemed constitutional, especially by a conservative-leaning Supreme Court. My concern, Than, here, however, is there's already a move legislatively, you said, or at least within the Biden administration, but also what DOJ is actually going to do here.
Yeah, you can't trust the Biden administration to defend this at all, just looking at their own actions, Jay. I mean, Cece is correct. The law is very clear on this, that Planned Parenthood is statutorily forbidden from getting these dollars, and yet they got them to the tune of $60 million every year until the Trump administration came in and righted that wrong. But, Jay, not only has President Biden said he is planning to reverse course on that and restore access to Title X dollars for Planned Parenthood after they sued, Jay, he's using the COVID stimulus legislation, as we speak today in the House of Representatives, the legislation that's put forward to try to backfill, to try to restore the dollars that Planned Parenthood lost as a result of President Trump's proper application of statutory law. So if you think that the administration, who's going to reverse the rule and reach back and restore $50 million to Planned Parenthood, is now going to go to the Supreme Court and actively defend the regulation, actively defend the statute, I think that is delusional. I think you're absolutely correct to not trust the Biden DOJ to do that.
I'm trying to figure out right now if our best bet is to file a brief just on behalf of the American Center for Law and Justice or with members of Congress as well. Now, here's the part that concerns me, and I'll get Logan to weigh in on this, because I think it's important for just everybody to understand. What Than just said, to underscore, is they're talking about putting these dollars back in under a COVID relief bill. Instead, money that could go to the American people who need it, but they're instead going to give it to Planned Parenthood, who doesn't need it. That's the thing that they would use. You said this before. They're always backdooring it any way they can.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with, you know, what's better for the country. It's just what's better for to further their political agenda and further their agenda. Because even the people who may be, you know, more moderate liberals on abortion know that so much money comes in from the lobbyists and from the groups and the donors and the Planned Parenthood PACs and all these different things that they got to keep them happy. So what they do is they shove all this stuff when really the American people don't want it.
No, the American people want a COVID relief package. Get it through already. That makes sense. And instead they're loading it up with dollars for abortion clinics and for Planned Parenthood. Now, Cece, what does this really mean? I mean, what's, for the people that are watching the broadcast or listening to the broadcast, what does this mean as far as in the pro-life fight? How do you view this?
Well, like you said, you know, it's strange that Biden is going after this, because there was a Marist poll that just came out in January of this year. And interestingly enough, 53% of the people that were polled considered themselves pro-choice. But 58% of those same people do not want our taxpayer dollars going to fund abortions in the United States. So this is just like Logan said, we're unified on this issue. We don't want our taxpayer dollars funding abortion, but the Biden administration is set on doing that. So we're going to see this at the Supreme Court. We're going to see this, you know, in his administration, changing regulations. And we need to fight it every step of the way.
You know, Laura Hernandez from our office emailed me last night. One of our senior counsels does a lot of our appellate work also, and our appellate team is already working on the brief. But here's the thing, the irony of all of this is that while this has been ruled constitutional before, and I'm very confident, but I don't ever get overconfident, that we will succeed again. I am really worried that the Department of Justice may, I mean, I don't know this, but I could see them filing a brief actually on the other side of this. That could actually happen here, Than.
Yeah, I absolutely think it could, especially, Jay, if you consider it in light of the context of what's happening on Capitol Hill right now, where Javier Becerra is having his confirmation hearing to be the next Secretary of HHS. The cabinet that is coming together in the Biden administration is going to be the most hostile to life that we've ever seen. That's just the plain and simple truth. I think, you know, once Merrick Garland is confirmed, which it looks like he likely will be at the Department of Justice, you're going to start to see how they will approach cases like this. But I would tell you this, Jay, we can't count on them because we know ideologically where they're coming from. We've got to turn to these 430,000 ACLJ members who've stood with us all the way from the comment stage to the filing brief stage to this stage that we're at now. And Jay, the Supreme Court is going to have to hear the truth in this case. And, you know, we just can't count on the DOJ to put that case forward. CeCe's correct. The American people do not support taxpayer dollars for abortions, but the Supreme Court is going to have to hear that from somebody. And I'm not so sure they're going to hear it from the DOJ.
No, I'm pretty convinced they won't. I mean, it's kind of completely contrary to the position that the Biden administration is advocating. So here's what we have to do. We, the American Center for Law and Justice, will prepare an amicus brief. That is a friend of the court brief. Our briefs have been cited by the Supreme Court in their opinions. So we get attention because we've been doing this for, I'm in my fourth decade, or actually fifth decade of Supreme Court litigation. I can't even believe that. But for four decades, I have litigated, and really five if you count it right, 80s, 90s, 2000, 2010, and 2020s. They know us. We're their neighbor in Washington, D.C. That doesn't mean they're going to agree with us, but our briefs are serious. And that is part of what we're trying to establish with both issues today. Both the issue involving what's going on with John Kerry and Robert Malley in Iran while President Trump was in office, and defending the Title X decisions when the administration will probably take the contrary position. We're letting you know what's going on because that's important, but we're actually taking action. And that's what this is all about.
Yeah. And that's what we do. That's what we do here at the organizations. That we do here on Seculo. And we also want to hear from you. So right now, as we head into this second half hour of the show, we want to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. Phone lines are open right now. Thousands of you watching right now on all of our social media platforms, whether that's on YouTube or Facebook or however you get the show, ACLJ.org, or maybe you're listening on radio. Thousands, tens of thousands, or hundreds of thousands, millions are listening on radio. This is the time for your voice to be heard. Not just go to ACLJ.org and support our work. We want to hear from you directly. It's a 1-800-684-3110. If you don't get the second half hour of this show on your local station, head on over to ACLJ.org. Find us on YouTube. You can just search ACLJ or find us on Facebook on the Jay Sekulow page. You can also follow my page, Logan Sekulow. Check out the Logan Sekulow reprogram on YouTube. So this show will be a lot more fun. All right, right back.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
I'll tell you something. If you missed the first 30 minutes of this broadcast, I mean, you saw the depth and scope of the ACLJ. I mean, yesterday on the broadcast, we had our new senior counsel for global affairs, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. On today's broadcast, in addition to Than and CeCe and me, Logan, we had our senior advisor for national security and international matters, foreign policy, Rick Grenell, former ambassador to Germany and director of national intelligence. And I need to tell you this as members of the ACLJ. This is not haphazard. We are doing this for a very serious reason. We know what's coming. We're already seeing it. We've already filed our first federal lawsuit against the Biden administration. Already filed. I'm holding in my hands the beginning of the second suit. This is against the State Department because we want to find out what was going on with John Kerry and Robert Malley as they were trying to negotiate with the Iranians, purportedly, while the Trump administration was fully functioning in 2019. And then Rick Grenell told you while he was on the air, Director Grenell said, well, he was over in Munich and saw the negotiations. He's not going to disclose to us, obviously, what was said, but that this was going on. And Logan brought up a really good point in the beginning, and that is this is the playbook of the left.
Yeah. It's something that we see over and over and over again. It has nothing to do with what's best for the American people, what's good for national interest or foreign relations. It has to do with undermining whatever a opposition government looks like. So whether it was the Trump administration, whatever it is, the fact they were there, again, you hear those terms thrown around, and you can often think of them as conspiracy, whether it's deep state or shadow government. But this is when it's true. And that's why we have put together this team. That's why we're going to continue to put together a team that can combat this. Because, look, not to say we have to play hardball and play how they played, but if they did this during the Trump years, then you better believe. But guess what? We're going to be out in the open about it. We have Mike Pompeo here. We have Rick Grenell here. And you know it. Because we actually tell you the truth. And we're upfront with what we're doing. And what we're going to do is be your voice to fight back against all this. Publicly, not in the shadows, not in secret, not where 4 years later you find out, why did this happen? Oh, because John Kerry was out there going, don't worry, guys, give it a few years. We got some stuff happening. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, so I mean, and again, we're doing that by taking direct action. Then we had the Title X situation and the abortion funding. And the Department of Justice is supposed to defend the Title X restrictions. Likely not going to happen in my view. I don't know that for a fact yet. But then likely not going to happen. But you look at both of those issues and what we're doing, building out the team, we're going to have more announcements in the days ahead. So, I mean, this team is being built out. And we have a great team in place already, but we're expanding. Why are we expanding? Because of you and an incredible support. I said this the other day. I think it was yesterday. There's no doubt that God has blessed the ACLJ and has allowed us to flourish and to grow. But God uses people. And I will tell you something. In a pandemic... The support to the ACLJ was stark, how large it was. And then in January and February, so far this month, online only is 50% ahead of last year, which was like 35% ahead of the year before that. That's because of you. And I want to thank you at the beginning of this second half hour of the broadcast. And I know I'm speaking for everybody, the people you see on this broadcast, the people behind the screen. None of us could do this without you. And it's not just talk, Than, it's action.
Yeah, and the additions of Rick Grenell and Secretary Pompeo are certainly going to inform those decisions. But like Logan said, Jay, we're going to ask for what we are entitled to under the law. In this FOIA involving the international issue, Jay, we want to know, all the way dating back to November 8th, 2016, when Secretary Kerry was in office and had a constitutional duty to fulfill his oath to us, whether or not he was planning to undermine this. Here's the other thing we want to know, Jay. We want to know if people who stayed on at the State Department made communications that undermined, went contrary to the position of not just Donald Trump, to the position, Jay, of the United States. Because guess who gets to set the position of the United States when it comes to foreign policy? It's the sitting president of the United States, not the former president.
I'm going to play for you when we get back from the break some sound from Secretary Kerry denying back channels. And then we're going to get into in a segment of the new HHS secretary, who we fought at the Supreme Court. We beat him. But we had to fight him at the Supreme Court. We'll see if I have those briefs while we take a break. Don't go away. Stay tuned. ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
I just want to put a finishing point on the Iran discussion. And I think about this, and Logan, I think about when we've done those FOIA requests on the videos that were manipulated. Here's John Kerry. I'll get everybody's comment. Here's John Kerry being asked about back-channel communications. Take a listen.
Since the decision was made to pull out of the Iran nuclear agreement, from that time forward, this is a public issue, and I don't engage in any diplomacy on it in that way.
There's been no back-channeling.
No, I haven't had any back channel on that issue since the decision was made to move out. And before that, it was not a back channel.
Well, this, according to the Washington Times, is not the case. It looks like that there were multiple individuals, including Robert Malley, Obama Energy Secretary Ernest Moniz, as well as Secretary of State John Kerry, who met with Mr. Zarif a number of times during the Trump years, and Rick Rennell just said, hey, I was in Germany at the Munich conference, and there they were. So maybe they were just having tea.
And where was that video clipping played from? Because it sounds like they're at, like, the Thanksgiving Day parade. It's the strangest interview ever. Very serious, but all you hear is, you know, horns going.
It was outside, yeah.
Outside at a parade? Okay.
Not a parade.
It sounds very intense for that.
All right.
But, all right.
So let's take this call on the Supreme Court, and then I want to get into this Becerra nomination, which is now the newest, greatest hit of HHS. By the way, just to whet your appetite for that discussion, I'm holding in my hand our briefs, including our petition for certiorari that was filed against Xavier Becerra, who was then the Attorney General of California, on a pro-life free speech issue involving crisis pregnancy centers that were being told, forced to say, oh, abortions are available down the street. And we took that to the Supreme Court of the United States. The Supreme Court granted the certiorari petition, vacated the lower court decision, and got rid of it, sent it back in light of another case that had just been decided in our favor, and said, you can't decide it that way. There you go. I think we had two of them actually up at that time that were successfully concluded. So we do have a call on the Supreme Court, so I thought that'd be a good segue into that one.
Yeah, let's go to Catherine, who's calling in Connecticut on line 5. Catherine, welcome.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I love your show. I watch you guys a lot, and you do so much for us.
Thanks.
I really respect you, but I'm wondering, with the filing of these cases, it seems to me, and I'm no expert, that John Roberts is stalling and blocking everything that comes in. So I'm wondering if perhaps we might have a bigger problem with
The court's already agreed, Catherine, just to be clear, the court has already agreed to hear the case involving the Title X abortion issue. The court granted certiorari yesterday. So that was that means four justices, at least, of the Supreme Court wanted to hear the case. And it's called the Rule of Four. So those four justices agreed to hear the case. There are now six conservative justices, including John Roberts. On a case like this, I would expect him to go with the majority and expect him to go with precedent, but there'd be five if he did not. The problem in that particular case, and I'll go back to Than on that, is we got a Justice Department that thinks the policy is unconstitutional and they're supposed to be defending it.
Yeah, I'm not sure the position that's correct under the law is going to be advocated by the Department of Justice in front of the Supreme Court. I'll tell this to Catherine, though. I mean, she's certainly correct on the premise that judges matter. We say that all the time on this broadcast. So the makeup of the Supreme Court is certainly important. But, Jay, on this particular case, and you alluded to this when you were talking about Javier Becerra a moment ago, as this moved up through the courts, and one of the circuit courts that it went through was the Ninth Circuit, and it went through the Ninth Circuit by design because typically the abortion industry has an automatic win in that circuit. Jay, because of the 10 judges that Donald Trump nominated and were confirmed by the United States Senate that now sit on that court, more than a third of that court are Trump nominees. Planned Parenthood lost three times at the Ninth Circuit on this very issue. So as it comes up to the Supreme Court, Catherine is absolutely right that judges and justices that will hear the case matter, as does the law that underwrites it. But Jay, the changes that happened all the way through the federal judiciary mean that we have a fighting chance on all of these issues. And we have a fighting chance, Jay, not just in some circuits, in every single circuit in the United States.
No, I think that's absolutely correct. But the interesting dynamic in this, and that's no problem for us, as the ACLJ is going to file a major brief, a friend of the court brief on that, because I don't know what the Department of Justice is going to actually advocate here. And that's just the way it is. So you've got the Iran situation. We're filing a brief, filing a Freedom of Information Act request today. They will not respond or respond slowly. We'll be in court on that one, is my prediction. We've already filed one case already involving what was going on in Eric Swalwell's office with an alleged Chinese spy. That was going on, and we heard from Mike Pompeo, former Secretary of State, yesterday, our senior counsel for global affairs, that China is a threat level 9 out of 10. So that tells you something right there. So we're on top of that. And again, not just talking about it, taking direct action. Now we've got a nomination of Xavier Becerra. Let's talk about that one, Than, because, I mean, like I just said, I held it up. I'll hold it up again for our TV audience. We beat him, I think, two, maybe three times at the Supreme Court of the United States. But having said that, he's being nominated for HHS, Health and Human Services.
Yeah, well, here's the honest truth, Jay, for an administration that says they want to start with unity when it comes to this issue, the issue of life, and there's no more important position for the issue of life than the Secretary of HHS. He has nominated what would be the most pro-abortion secretary of that department that we've ever seen. And again, I think I've said this on this broadcast, that would be something given that Kathleen Sebelius has been the secretary of that agency before. Jay, it seems like every time we fought one of these issues over the last decade, it has been Javier Becerra on the other side, most notably as he's been the Attorney General of the state of California. Jay, Jordan recently wrote to the Senate Health Committee, which is having that confirmation hearing today for Mr. Becerra, outlining our concerns, outlining the fact that he's well outside of the mainstream, even in the pro-choice community. He's outside the mainstream on this issue, anything but a unifying force. We're about ready to send a letter to the full Senate opposing his nomination. Look, there's no other way to put it. Confirming Javier Becerra to the Department of HHS would be the opposite of unifying. And more importantly than that, Jay, it would be detrimental in a big, significant way to the cause of life.
Let me ask you this and get your sense on this, because getting him blocked appears to be really tough. Now, there was already a nominee that's going to probably be pulled back. Is there any sense that Manchin or one of these others would say no to this?
There is some sense, Jay. There has been some political sense on the Hill that Senator Manchin is going to pick one or two nominees to oppose. He has already come out against the nomination for OMB. Maybe this would be the second, but I would tell you this. We need to broaden our horizons a little bit more than just Senator Manchin, because even if he were to oppose Javier Becerra, there would be the possibility that Republican senators, Jay, would put him over the line. You got to look at Lisa Murkowski. You got to look at Susan Collins, and you've got to ask them to toe the line on this. Because, look, regardless of where they come down on the issue of life, if they want to have a unifying force in President Biden's cabinet, this is not the way to accomplish that. So I would look at Senator Manchin. I would look at Senator Sinema. I would also look at Republican Senators Collins and Murkowski.
And again, on this one, folks, we're not just talking about it on a radio broadcast, which is nothing wrong with. It's important. We're taking action. We're filing letters with the Senate. We're letting our positions, which represent your interest, be heard. And part of taking action means, look, it doesn't mean you're going to win every one of these, and this is going to be really tough. I think it's fair to say this will be tough because of the makeup of the Senate.
Of course.
But when it comes to life, you got to fight. There's not an option on it yet. And this guy who's being nominated, we have gone to battle with at the highest court in the land, the Supreme Court of the United States. There you have it. So, of course, we're going to take action. We're going to take it very, very seriously. But again, this is part of an overall strategy that we are outlining at the American Center for Law and Justice. And that's why, you know, a lot of groups right now are kind of tightening things, and I understand it, kind of repositioning. We have a clear mandate, we think. We know exactly, we have been through this dance before, so to speak. We have been through this rodeo. This is not the first time we've been in power, we've been in on air or as an organization working when a party in power does not share your interests on issues like life, on religious liberty, on foreign policy. And you don't just say, woe is me, you report for duty, and that's exactly what we're doing.
And things get done. I don't want people to feel disheartened. You know, when we're here, the reason we said ACLJ more than ever this year, because that's our 2021 campaign, because we are needed more than ever. And guess what? During the Obama years, as much as it was an uphill battle, stuff got done.
We took down the IRS.
A lot of people, you know, sometimes it's a lot easier to rest on your laurels and be like, we got this. When you have this situation at hand and you have to fight, you have to fight against specifically people who are going against your core values and what you believe, people show up. And that's why it's important to have supporters of the ACLJ. But hey, phone lines are open as we head in to the last segment of the show.
Last segment, you can ask me anything. Within reason.
Within reason. You know, you heard it. Phone screeners, you heard it. Loosen it up. Loosen it up. 1-800-684-3110. You know, yeah. No, you said to be all the way on topic. Just, you know, a little bit on topic would be nice. 1-800-684-3110. Again, find us later on. We're going to be live on the Logan Secular Reprogram. Subscribe to my YouTube channel.
Yeah.
That's youtube.com/Logan Secular Reprogram. Just search my name. You'll find it there.
Hit and, you subscribe. Know, they take over. There's a Logan Secular Reprogram occasionally takes over.
Well, the takeovers. You can find us on Instagram.
You won't be taking
find
over this week,
on
but next
Facebook.
Week, maybe.
Yeah. Not week. We'll be back, though, with your questions and comments.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
Welcome back to Seculo. Heading into this is our final segment. We're going to take as many calls as we can. And you know, we do have a first call. I think we should take it. Look, I'm going to say this because I think what more people hear about, you know, people being undermined and administrations being undermined, they're concerned, again, that there's nothing we can do. So let's go to Sherman in New Mexico on line one. You said any calls? We're taking any calls. Sherman, you're on the air.
Thank you. And I appreciate you guys doing what you do, and we support you too. My question is, can Kerry and that crew be arrested for treason since they have done what they have done?
Well, we don't have evidence of what they've done. I don't think you could arrest them. You cannot arrest them for treason. The Logan Act is what usually comes into play here. That is a private citizen doing foreign policy.
I think the problem is people see the second impeachment trial. They see things like that and they go, well, there's fake, you know, issues when it comes to the way that we've done this. And you're telling me people who are actually doing stuff to undermine the work of the United States government just can get away with it. And we can show it and we can say, look what happened, but there's nothing that can be done.
Yeah. And the thing with the Logan Act, I was saying, which is, you know, it prohibits private citizens negotiating foreign policy, is I think it's unconstitutional. I thought it was unconstitutional during previous administrations. So you're not going to arrest them for treason. You're not going to try and convict. It's a question of undermining of policy. That's the problem here. And the prohibitions on that are questionable constitutionally. I'll be honest. I don't like that they, but I think it goes beyond that then. It's the fact that they were doing it, or at least allegedly doing it, that undermines our foreign policy. It's the consequence of their action here.
Well, and as former Secretary of State, he's got an obligation to put the interest of the United States ahead of his personal agenda. Look, you know, in the clip you played a few minutes ago, Jay, he was making some excuse that, well, you know, the conversations were before we had technically pulled out of the JCPOA, and somehow that made it okay. Jay, that's a joke. I mean, the fact that the former Secretary of State thinks that it's okay for him to engage in repeated conversations, the report says 2017, 2018, and 2019, and that would somehow not be seen as conducting U.S. foreign policy and undermining the very different position of the administration that had taken over. Jay, that's just not believable. Here's just very quickly the other thing that we're asking for in this FOIA that I think is very important. And to Logan's point, what can be done about it? Jay, we want to know if there's still anybody inside government service who during this same period helped John Kerry accomplish this. We want to know if they undermined U.S. foreign policy in their official position, because whether it's John Kerry or a desk officer, if you are not advancing the policy that is determined by the President of the United States, Jay, you shouldn't have that job.
I agree. But of course, now he's back in, he's got some kind of climate czar role. So he's going to be back. And I'm sure they'll tie that into Iran somehow.
All right, let's mix this up a little bit. You good with Abraham in New York?
I think
this is a question a lot of people have. Abraham in New York, about some other topics. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I am disheartened, and I'm wondering what you react to the fact that so many of our judges refuse to hear anything about the election
cases.
Finally, somebody's going to present some real facts, and we're going to hear some truth than just rhetoric.
Well, here was the problem. Number one, and I've said this before, I think those election cases should have been brought way before the election, because the mail-in ballots and these lack of verifications could have been subject to constitutional challenges and statutory challenges before, and it wasn't. And they brought some early, but not that many. That's number one. Number two, look, the Supreme Court is not the place to lay out evidence. The Supreme Court is the court of last review. That means the evidence has been submitted. So the problem was that they were not successful in the lower courts in obtaining a sufficient body of law or sufficient evidence to move it forward. The Supreme Court denied a few cases yesterday, obviously, because the election is over. So when the election is over, the case is moot. Now, Justice Thomas, Justice Alito, and Justice Gorsuch said that these are issues capable of evading review. So we should get some clarity to this issue about judges changing. This is what we're talking about. Judges changing the laws as it relates to balloting rather than the legislatures, if that's what's required under state laws. Unfortunately, those cases were not. There was a couple of those that went very well, remember. Don't forget, some of those went fine. But a vast majority did not because they were not brought up in either a timely manner or the lower court decision did not have sufficient evidence. So that's my theory on that.
All right. Hopefully that answers that question for you. Let's move on. Let's go to Patricia, who is calling on line four. Patricia in California, welcome.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Jay, I would like to bring up to you the time in the Old Testament when Moses was doing all the judges until his father-in-law intervened and said, Moses, you can't do this all on your own. You have to get other people involved so that this is not tiring you out on a day-to-day basis or thereabouts. I, you know, said it in my own way. But I would like you to please tell your listening audience that we can't expect you to do all the work. We do support you. I support you. But we need to do what we can do as a populace sure. who wants the right thing to happen, to call their senators, to contact their senators. I just contacted the White House a little while ago and gave a little message to the president about the Equality Act.
Okay.
We need to help hold you up and support you in that manner as well.
Patricia, we appreciate that. And what I want to tell you also is there are a lot of people working behind the scenes at the ACLJ. So it may look like you see the TV show and you see it or listen on radio and you see five of us, six of us, seven of us. There are so many people beyond the glass, if you will, beyond the TV screen that are doing incredible amounts of work. And yes, for sure, I'm sure Than would want to say, call your representatives, get involved. That stuff is real. That can absolutely help. But that is also why we've assembled a team. And that team is amazing. And I'm not just talking about, obviously, the new additions of Mike Pompeo or Rick Grenell mid last year. I'm talking about an incredible team of people who do production, people who do your website, lawyers, assistants, people who make sure that the ACLJ is up and running and they're on Capitol Hill, Dan, to make sure that everything is running as smoothly as possible, especially during these times.
Yeah, and Logan, I would add to that, people like Patricia, members of the ACLJ, one of the things that makes us unique in Washington, D.C. and gives us a lot of ability to impact issues is the fact that people like Patricia stand with us. If we want to go to the United States Senate, Logan, and tell them that there are legitimate reasons to oppose Javier Becerra, for example, those senators want to know that their voters, people like Patricia, agree with us on that fact. So that's why we're constantly asking people to stand with us on petitions. It's not just so that they can, you know, sign their name to a fancy sheet of paper, Logan, it's so that when we go to the Hill on their behalf, we can actually make an impact. It'll be more than just words. It'll actually make an impact. So I agree with you. A full team at the ACLJ, but it extends to people like Patricia as well.
To the ACLJ members.
No, and I want to can I do this and thank the ACLJ members right now again? Because let me tell you something, folks. The truth of the matter is, without you, this doesn't happen. And your generosity over this last year, especially during the pandemic, was just incredible. And I want to thank you for that. And then on top of that, this year's started great. And that's the reason we're able to hire people, retain people like Rick Grenell, former director of national intelligence, ambassador to Germany, or the former secretary of state, now the special senior counsel for global affairs for the American Center for Law and Justice, Mike Pompeo. That happens because of you. And I want to thank you from all of us. Like Logan said, the ones you see and the ones you don't. Your support of the ACLJ has made a huge difference.
Thank you all for listening today. Hey, look, as I said, we're going to continue this conversation, some of these topics and more on the Logan Seculo Reprogram, my show later on today. And all you need to do to watch that live is subscribe to my YouTube channel. That's at youtube.com/Logan Seculo Reprogram, or just type in Logan Seculo, hit the subscribe. And also later on, go to aclj.org and see all the amazing work we're doing. We'll talk to you a little bit later today.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.